For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. With over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in that games media combined, I want to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live. You can get in the chat and you can become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on a podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Max, it has been an interesting week.
Okay.
Just going to put it out there. There's a lot of good news. A lot of good news. So, good news number one, we talked about it last week, and we talked about it in episode 200. After 4 years plus, we're finally getting a new table.
Oh, okay. This is where we're going with this.
Sure. Oh, I have 2 bits of news. But so this is a mad bit of good news. So this table, ladies and gentlemen, which you can see, is literally like a chipboard shelf with fucking legs screwed into it that I built, and then I had to reinforce some other random bit of wood I found at my in-laws, because it just sagged because it wasn't designed to do exactly what we did with it. It is not a very good shelf.
So or just, table. The second good news is you're finally taking that bump through the table.
Yes. that's part of the same story, but yes.
It's part of the same story.
So we are getting this table replaced. Our good friend Ethan over at Tag Mods, and this table somehow be moved forward, as I punch on the microphones, he messaged me and he's like, "Hey, I've learned some new skills. What do you need?" He goes, I can make cool tables and I can make cool neon lights. I'm like, well, do you need a table? So he's given me an idea and we've run him with it. I'm like, I like it. And that's what we're working on right now. So we will have a lovely new desk and it's going to be mad. Now, as Rock Mummy in the chat asked, please tell me you're doing a table send-off video. Yes. This table is that good amount of shit wood that if I remove this random support beam, I'm going to go through this table.
And Ryan's going to end up in hospital.
We'll put a mattress under it and I will be put through this table.
He's going to have a splinter like this big sticking out the side of his...
That's a risk that I'm willing to take. For real. For real. Probably won't be in this room.
Okay, so who gets the honor of throwing you through the table?
See, that's the thing that I don't know.
Are we wheeling out Undertaker Josh?
Well, in order to lift my fat ass, like maybe you, Jim, and Josh could all slam me at the same time. I don't know, we'll see how it goes. Or I just jump into it myself. Either way, this table is fucked. And I'm going to fall through it and I'm gonna blow it out. I think Josh and Max should. I'll at least invite Josh. I think it'll be ceremonious to have it happen. But like I've talked about how I've wanted to take a bump. And since getting thinner and getting, trying to get my fitness up. And part of that for me is like, part of me is like, well, why not? This is dumb, and this could be that. This could be a step on that achievement. And I think
this is how we go viral and go big.
And this will be at least the dumbest video you've ever seen.
This could be the one.
It's
make it or break it. You'll break the table, and then we'll be good to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, and then like, cool. And then I pick up all the pieces and pull the big splinter out of my side and go on from there.
I'll be on board with the. I'll be ready for the ambulance ride.
I appreciate it. Having everyone call 911 and then get ready to press 1 as I blow my back out. But I think it would be at least a very funny video. Is what I'm hoping. Number two. It hasn't happened yet, but we did receive an email from PlayStation. As we do, we get them quite frequently. We're very lucky. But they reached out more like, hey, we would love to use a quote from your discussions around Returnal for our promotional material. And I was like, last week I said this game makes me want to kill myself. Like this, are you going to use that? No, but in the email they list
10 out of 10.
Yeah, 10 out of 10. It's gave me want to kill myself. I'm like, what have I said? Like, because like I've not. Well, we've praised the game, but I've also shat on it a lot because I'm just not very good at it. So I was like, okay, let's see. And I read the rest of you, and it couldn't be any more of the most Betson fucking quote in the entire world. It is, and I literally quote, "This is dope," which is awesome because that's how I speak. That's how I like. The accolades trailer hasn't come together yet. However, I believe it should be some point soon, and I cannot wait because we have never been like in the 4 years that we've been doing this show. We've reviewed hundreds of games, tens of games, single digits of games. Like we've reviewed a lot of games, and a lot of them, near all of them, have been provided to us by publisher. We've been very, very lucky in that space. But unlike for our friends, you know, like Player 2 and, you know, Well Played and Explosion Network and Dash Gamer, like these are all people that we have been connected to where they have had a quote referred to in there, yeah. into a thing. And that's all good. But like there's all like the really good ones. Like this game is a showcase, you know, masterpiece of a showcase or whatever. I'm just like, this is dope. So I'm like, I love it because it's the most Betson quote.
So obviously we're upset because Capcom didn't reach out to say for the quote. It makes my shorts tight.
Well, Capcom Australia did once tweet my Twitter review of Resident Evil 3, which was "This game makes my dick hard" or makes me moist or something. Three kinds of moist, I think it was. But no, they sure enough they gave it the love on the socials. But you know, we're also friends with people at Capcom, so that's our fault. But yes,
that's
so
our fault.
So, in the near future, you hopefully will be seeing a quote from us with our name under it in a Returnal accolades trailer for PlayStation Australia. We've made it. Wrap up the show.
Now you've just got to finish it and get credits on it.
No, I can't. There's no way I'm getting credits on this mother bastard. But no, that is a great bit of news to come out of this week. But I'd love to share it all with you. So once again, whether it happens or not, whether the trailer comes together, because we didn't put a score on it, it's not going to appear in like the score thing. But wait and see. It's a very exciting email. Very exciting email. Have you been?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
I've been very tired this week.
Yeah?
Very tired. I'm still not used to these new hours.
Just apparently
an extra 45 minutes a day has just killed me.
Well, Ken, like if you're running on nothing and then you have to add more to it, like right now you've got one eye closed more than the other. You're having a real tough time.
I mean, I have a lazy eye, but thank you for pointing that out. Not the entirety of the reasons why I have to wear glasses, but thank you for pointing out that massive character flaw, you asshole.
I'm only really insecure about it.
I mean, you know, full disclosure, I've been up since 2 a.m., but, yeah. You know.
That's what I was implying, not your fucking poor eyesight.
Because I fell asleep on the couch at like 6 and then woke up at 2, and then I'm like, oh, I guess I'm awake now. This is my life. Got my 8 hours in.
Brutal.
Yes.
Yeah. It is what it is. Yeah, my week's been pretty chill. we've had some very cool things happen. It's been all right. Personally ups and downs, but in terms of this and stuff, it's been a pretty good week. So
yeah,
it's nice to come out of, you know, to see what the future could hold post 200. It's been really cool. But what have we been playing? That's the next thing after we ask how we've been, and not much has really gone down this week. I kind of laid it out in the, before we even had that bit. So
I rolled credits on Returnal.
Well done.
So pretty.
You are stronger and braver man than I.
Basically, all the planets aligned. I got a fantastic run and managed to just straight through. Did biomes 4, 5, and 6 in one run.
Yep.
Oh, game's so good. Yeah. To quote ourselves, so dope.
Yeah.
So I've now gone back because obviously roguelike saw end credits. It's like, hey, get to start again.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a new collectible in each biome to collect. I've collected 5 of 6. So I got one more to do to get that true ending.
Nice.
So I'm working towards that at the moment.
Okay. I can't, yeah. So in terms of where I'm at currently, I have, still getting punched by the second boss in Biome 2.
So for those playing at home, basically I managed to just get myself a fully automatic rocket launcher, and every time I shot a rocket, the rocket replicated into another 3 rockets.
Clean a room.
So yeah, and they were all homing, so I just basically walked in a room and just went and just sprayed rockets everywhere.
Everyone dies
and I just walked through.
Brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
That's That sucks because that's not.
And I'm never going to get it again.
Yeah.
I'm never going to see that again.
See, that's the thing. I'll add from last week. The RNG is brutal. And it can really work in your favor, or it can really fuck you. And I've found so far that it just fucks me. But I'm glad that you had a really good run with it. I'm glad that you're having a really good time with it.
Basically, I don't pick anything up that's a 50-50. Like anything
that's like 3 basically's in a row.
Anything that's got like... has a chance to cause a malfunction. I'm like, yeah, I don't want you.
Yeah, I don't pick up anything.
But it's like, come on. I could like double your maximum health. Yeah, but you could fuck me. So, no thank you.
Excited to come quite in the chat because we're supposed to record this live on Twitch. Full disclosure, I never get good at anything, so I probably won't pick it up.
Yeah, it can be.
And I think it's a bit. I think it can be pretty certainly a big turnoff.
Yeah.
And even right now, like Housemarque have come out and we're like, nah, I don't know. We might fix it. We might put a save point in. Like, you know, essentially, they're like, well, there's different conjecture on the internet. Some people want it, some people don't. Like, what?
I don't really care if they put in a...
Well, you finished it, you fuck. Of course you don't care.
But, like, you know, a lot of my runs are never, like, multiple hours.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I think my longest run has been, like, an hour. Hour and a bit. Because normally I do something stupid and get myself killed.
Because I play it slow because I'm garbage and then I just get punched in real hard.
We're talking about Returnal, Surge.
Yes, so Returnal. So I
had like a blank there. I'm like, I've been playing it all week and it's called Returnal.
So I haven't been playing Returnal, mostly because I'm not insane right now. So instead, I booted up the console and I was like, well, I need to clear some of these games off. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, what have I got left? I'm like, Outriders. I can roll credits on Outriders. Mm-hmm. I was at level 22 at the time, mm-hmm. I think I'm not really slightly ahead now. And I'm like, I'm going to roll credits on this mother bastard. So I've been pushing through at about tier 6. I just locked in at tier 7. Just going my way through, getting what I can in the story.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of getting every side mission as I go because for some reason I can't just go on path. I need to get all the little bullshit things around it.
I mean, that's on you. You can golden path
it. That is on me, but I am enjoying it. The game is great and I love playing it. I literally sit here
with a
podcast on and I just make my way through.
Has it been since all the patches? Because I know a lot of the patches come through where they've fixed people's inventory or they're rolling it out. It's in stages. But last I heard they were working on the issue of it took like 20 years to log in sometimes.
Not an issue at all anymore. It logs in instantly.
That's so good.
Like I do it and it goes da 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 and then it kicks right into gear. Like that bullshit authenticating or spinny wheel maneuver that they had for a while, completely gone. It is now just in, out, and I've never had any sort of connectivity issue with it since last time we talked about it here on the show. So it's great. I'm starting to get some legendary weapons now because as the world tier is increasing, the weapon drops are better. There are times where the game just punches me in the dick and then I drop it back a little bit, then I punch it in the dick and then I pop it back up and move my way through. Because I'm not trying to achieve the best gear. I don't really have a lot of plans for end game. So for me, it was just like, well, do it at the difficulty that I'm currently at, because obviously my weapons match it. Mm-hmm. And then if it kicks me too hard, I'll just scale it back, push through, bump back up, yep. and then repeat. So I'm at the part where I'm just kind of there was a Bailey. She just gets mm-hmm. all thingied, and I gotta like fight her in a thing. You know what I mean? So like I'm through the forest. I'm pretty heavily in the forest at this point. I've seen, spoilers, a native alien of this planet. I'm like, ooh, you're humanoid too. It's just like Stargate. Everyone's humanoid for some reason. Apparently that's the most optimal body shape in the galaxy, which I'm strongly in disagreement. But yeah, so I've been playing.
I mean, they're significantly taller.
Yeah, they're all tall and lanky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, so the game, still good. Still playing a lot of that. I dived into Stranded Deep a little bit, just because it was free on yep. PS Plus.
Yep.
I was like, sure. Did it. And had a little fuck around on the island. Stabbed a bunch of crabs. I don't know what to take of that game yet.
Fair enough.
It's very clearly meant to be a PC game.
Yeah.
Like, unlike The Forest, which even some of it's like... The level of accuracy that's required in Stranded Deep to pick up something is hard on a controller.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you're on mouse and keyboard, you can hover it exactly over its, you know, essentially the hitbox of, like, and you go, boop. But we're here, you need to, like, line it up. There's no, like, extra space around it that...
Oh,
so, it's rough. a little bit shit in that sense. But hopefully, that does get improved. The other thing that I did start playing last night, which I know that you're interested in, is Mass Effect... Legendary Edition. So I went into town yesterday. I picked up that bastard and I bought it home. And 100 gigs later, it's installed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that just turned me off all of a sudden.
Well, because you don't have an external, do you?
I mean, I do. I just don't have one plugged in at the moment.
So it's 100 gig. It's a bastard.
Is that for all three?
And you can't not install... You have to install
it. Yeah, okay. So does that mean that it's one application, like one tile? I don't have three.
It's one tile, okay, that's all right, three. Then.
That's fine.
Yeah. Three trophy lists plus a fourth one that kind of connects them all together. Mm-hmm. So there's like a trophy for like get a love interest in one, two, or three. So it's like a subsequent.
Yeah, cool.
Which is really cool. Yeah, so I played that last night. Now, I've never played Mass Effect before. Literally never. It's one of those franchises. You know, you always hear about franchises, the people were like, oh, maybe I'll check that out one day. That was on my list.
It's on my list for that reason too. You know, I never played it. I made the decision of going for Dragon Age over Mass Effect. Oh, yeah. I preferred high fantasy over sci-fi. I went that route. I zagged instead of zigged. So I might check it out too.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It looks. There are moments where it looks brilliant. Like, there's a creature at the start, I think he's a Thorin or a Tauren or something, he's like a weird brown-faced dude with like white face paint, he's a really cool alien creature. The textures on him are fantastic. He looks brilliant.
And then it pans and then there's like this dopey guy.
They're very clearly working on the exact same framework of the old game and they've reskinned it with these newer textures.
That's
because
cool.
There are moments where it looks brilliant and then lip sync is the worst. Like, it just doesn't really line up at all. But it looks great.
That's funny.
My character looks really shitty because I didn't go with the base maid shepherd. I went FemShep because apparently FemShep is the best to play.
Yeah, that is the general consensus.
Yeah, it's general consensus. So now my goal is just to finger bang anything across the universe. Because apparently this game lets you just blast people. I'm like, all right, well, my FemShep's going to smooch anything that moves.
Fair enough.
That's my plan. But yeah, because no, I played for about an hour and a half, maybe shy of 2 hours. I was in here and I was sipping whiskey while playing with Craig over Discord because our friend Craig, he is a massive, massive, massive fan of Mass Effect. And he was like, I want to share it with you. I'm like, okay, cool. So he was playing his place while I was playing here. We had a Discord call open.
That's so cute.
It was adorable. And we're just chatting and bullshitting them. And I was complaining about the guns and how they shoot weird. And... you know, but he was having a blast, and then I progressively got more and more intoxicated. I'm like, this is too much information. I can't play this anymore. So I went Bee-hoo, and I stopped playing, and then I got distracted, and then I was watching Rockamoni on stream. She was playing Valhalla for like the 1800th time. I don't know how she's not finished that game yet, but Yeah, and then I got messy, so I was like, I'm going to bed.
The other game I've been playing is Season of the Splicer has kicked off in Destiny 2.
Oh, I'm like, what so the fuck
am,
is that,
man? I am back on that bandwagon.
Dude, you just can't quit it, can you?
So obviously, I managed to talk one of my friends into buying Season Pass. I was lucky enough to have a code provided to me.
Oh, yeah.
Way back when.
Shout out to Reboot.
And
forgot all about that.
Yeah, so I dive back in. Managed to talk one of my friends in. The new raid comes out next week. It's back the original Vault of Glass from Destiny 1. So I'm getting my grind on so I can do that on launch day. Reverend Park puts in the chat, oh man, I can't find a transmog I enjoy. I couldn't give two shits about transmog. And transmog is you can basically glamour one piece of gear to look like something else. Ooh. But keep all the stats. So you can
you
make
had
yourself
me at glamour.
You can make yourself look pretty, but I just don't care because the game's in first person. I can't see myself anyway.
See,
so I just could not give two shit. I'll wear the weirdest mismatched shit as long as my score's good.
See,
I could not care less.
I don't know whether Outriders does this as well, but like obviously because you designed to keep flipping gear, right? I'm like, yeah. I really like my character looks mad. New gear, I'm like, bastard.
There is. I'm pretty sure there's transmog in that.
So. All right, cool.
Now, my friend, on the other hand, is like, I have to look good. And I'm like, cool. Good for you.
Dork.
And it turns out that doing all the quests to get the new items to transmog your gear is just like the worst grind possible. Apparently, someone online worked out how long it would theoretically take to do full set of gear, which is 5 pieces. Apparently, it takes roughly 25 hours worth of grinding to do one full set of gear.
Ew.
And they've capped it so you can only get, I think this first season, because it's just introduced in this season, you can get more, but you're only going to be able to get 10 per season after this. So they're putting a hard cap on it. Which is fine, because like how many, like realistically, how many outfits do you need to wear to kill space people? Again, transmog is not for me. I could not care. I could
well,
not care
Well, don't
less.
You remember the controversy around like the shaders or whatever? Like, but when Destiny 2 came out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't accessorize.
Yeah. And guess what I did? I dismantled all of them because I don't care.
The internet were like wanting them and you're like,
yeah, I honestly don't care. Like, it's the same in like, I play Final Fantasy Online. You can glamour. I don't care. I'll look retarded. I don't care. I just want good stats.
We just talked about how we can't use that word. So pre-show, I started singing Let's Get It Started by Black Eyed Peas.
You put it in my mind.
I did. I did inception that word. And I was like, did you ever hear the version of that song where they use the hard R and it's horrible? And even back when we were younger,
I will wear bright pink top, fluoro green bottoms. I don't care. It makes no difference to me. It honestly doesn't.
I love that I accepted a word in your head.
Especially in a first-person game. It just does not matter.
Yeah.
Could not care less what I'm wearing. Oh, I'll have like this ridiculous hat on and full suit.
I completely agree. I never give two shits about what my character looks like. They can look as dumb as balls. I'm a stats guy.
Yeah.
And they can look batshit stupid. And I don't
care. I don't know. I get that people like it, but does it really need to be that horrible of a grind?
Yeah, that seems like a lot of grind for just one thing.
Basically, you get one item from drops from killing stuff, and you use that item to buy another item to purchase a bounty to get a further item to then purchase something else to become an ornament to transmog. It just seems bafflingly.
That sounds incredibly painful.
It's just way over the top. Like, there's three different currencies to get one thing, or you can pay real money to just buy them.
I know that's a huge problem in Destiny right now. There's like 11 currencies.
Yeah, that would put it lightly. There's too much. There's way too much going on.
Yeah, because I distinctly remember when I played DCUO back in the day. Like, I got to, like, the end game and then it was like there's all these fancy pants armors you get, but like once you clear one set of armor it's like it's a new currency to buy the new. I'm like, for fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 7 of them at the time. I don't know, I couldn't even tell him anything right now. It's been so long since I've played it.
Yeah, so I'm playing that.
You enjoy it?
Yeah, it's great fun. Awesome. I'm back in the grind.
I'm like
the gunplay in that game is just so good. Like, they've really done it well.
Yeah,
they buffed a bunch of stuff and then like left out some stuff that should have been buffed with the rest of the stuff, and just they're like, oh, it's bugged. We'll fix it later.
So Killer adds in the chat, and people wonder why he prefers WoW. Once I collect gear, it goes into my transmog collection, and then I can transmog it. Apparently, that's a word. What I really should be more aware of. It only costs me some in-game gold. So I guess once you get the style, you can just choose it.
Yeah, so it works similar to that of like Final Fantasy Online. You put everything in your glamour cabinet, and then you use glamour plates to just make things look like how you want them. So you keep all your stats of the good gear, but you just make it appear as if it's something else.
Oh, see, that's way better. Way better. But Final Fantasy Online would benefit from it. Like, Destiny, it seems like a decision to try and make you play longer, but that's entirely what Final Fantasy Online would do.
Final Fantasy Online don't care how long you play because you have to pay to play.
Ah, is that the catch?
Like,
I guess that's the catch.
I mean, in saying that, they also have a fantastic free trial period that's up to level 60 and includes the entirety of the first expansion. So, like, you know, they onboard you pretty well.
Anyway, let's get into the next section, which is our Get Less Fat update. For those that don't know, in 2020, I lost over 30 kilos using a product called the Man Shake. And as an ambassador for that product, we are very lucky to have the Man Shake support this show, particularly my journey, Max's journey. And Max is starting it in this year. He started in February, whatever it was, March, yep. Somewhere around there. And I'm still going, but my goal's very different. How has your week been?
I've been terrible this week.
That's fine.
I'm out. I'm ordering some new stuff this afternoon, and I kind of left it too late. So I had this...
It's a window we didn't have
shakes. I had this window where I ran out, and I was going to order some. So I didn't want to go buy a bag, because I knew we were here. So I'm like, I'll be good. You know, I'll just eat, not crap. And then I slept for like 3 hours a day.
Tired. Yeah, so, I think it's that
this
plus
week's
like
this
the
week's
change
been,
of weather.
This week's been very shitty for me.
Yeah. It's the change of weather as well. It's been an absolute garbage week in terms of weather. So, like, your brain will want you to eat more food and to, like, bulk up because we're starting to get into that winter period, right? So, it's wanting you to eat more. It makes it very, very difficult. So, I myself, yeah, like, I'm in a similar boat as well. I'm still at the same weight. I haven't really gone to the gym all that much this week. Mostly just because, I either got stuck at work, so I was working late, or... you know, and then by the time I left, it's like 5:30. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get home and have dinner and whatever and record a show. And I'm there. You know, or it's just like I went today and I was on the treadmill for my usual amount of time. And then I tried to do this, some chest press and I was like, I'm not feeling it today, man.
Yeah. So
I left. And I think that is, I'm not certainly not as tired as you, but I mean, like, I think there's some sleep in there. And then there is just sort of some just,
bleh. I mean, I must admit, picking up that extra shift at work, I'm now, my daily steps used to be like 10 to 12,000. I'm now hitting like on average 17,000 steps before I finish work at 7 a.m. So it's been good. Like I'm doing a lot more walking, a lot more stairs, all that stuff. So it's a bit of both. So that hasn't been. I haven't eaten as well as I should, but I'm doing way more exercise than what I was. So
that's
hopefully,
good. Hopefully it balances out.
Hopefully
a
it balanced it out, and
But yeah. So if you want to support our journeys, or maybe even start your own, there is a link in the description. It is bit.ly/FTPManshake. You don't even have to buy anything. Just by clicking on that list, you are showing the support for this show and our journeys. And if you're there, you might want to check it out. If you feel the need, but it's awesome. I have been, I've had a couple people reach out to me recently saying that they're jumping on board, and it's awesome. And I cannot wait to see their results, because PAX is coming. We have 4 months, no, 6 months, wait, no, 5 months to PAX. I'm not very good at math. We have 5 months until PAX.
Gets both sides of PAX and misses month that's
misses
in.
It completely. So I've got pretty for PAX 2, jacked boogaloo. So I'm gonna have to put some more effort into as we head into October. You know, and then you got pretty for PAX the first.
Pretty
the for redux. Because I did it last year, so this is the redux, it's the redo. We're gonna look fantastic. come PAX. And looks like Jess is joining the party too. Jess has also got on her fitness journey as well. She's been gyming up a storm. Looking fantastic, by the way. So it's all good news.
I constantly watch Jess play Assassin's Creed, yeah. And then I'm just like, I really want to get back into this, and it's so daunting.
I can't do it. It's too much of a game.
Like, I think the new DLC is about to come out, or is out.
Oh, no, it just came out.
And I'm like, Wrath of Druid, but I finished the game.
Ooh, the Wrath of the Druid, but I didn't have any other Wraths yet.
I haven't done any of the other Wraths yet.
All right. So let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. It's been a pretty substantial week.
Mm.
A lot's gone down. Max, where are we kicking things off?
Let's kick some stuff off with next-gen PSVR. So we've had this trickle-fed all throughout the year, but the next-gen PSVR headset that Sony has already announced for PlayStation 5 sounds like a huge leap compared to its PlayStation 4 predecessor. That's assuming the exclusive report published by Upload VR is accurate, which cites, quote, reliable sources.
Oh, I breathed in a bunch of water, then my lungs hurt.
Apparently, the platform holder has been briefing developers on the headset's features, which makes sense considering it did mention prototype hardware would be sent out soon. So what then are the key details? Allegedly, it has a resolution of 4000 by 2040, an enormous boost compared to the previous PSVR's headset of 1920 by 1080. It will have gaze tracking capable of foveated rendering. The latter could be a game changer. In layman's terms, it means that the headset may be able to detect where you're looking, meaning that developers can render objects that you're focusing on in higher detail.
Perfect. And leave the peripheral. Because I find that fuzzy. The edges are always fuzzy and shit. So that's fantastic.
Another interesting feature, apparently there is a motor in the headset itself, which is capable of haptic feedback similar to the DualSense controller.
Head
rumble. We already know that the device's new controllers will share technology with the PlayStation 5's DualSense controller, but feathering the sensations to the head and scalp should make games even more immersive.
Unless you get shot in the face, and then you just get rumbled and your brain falls out of your ear.
Research suggests that some form of feedback when synchronized with movement can help with motion sickness, as the sensation of rumble tricks the brain into thinking you're actually walking.
Ah, that's awesome.
Our brains be dumb, yo.
Dude, our brains are so easily tricked. I'm hard.
I'm so keen.
Yeah, man. Like, granted, the old PSVR is sitting there right behind Max's head, and I haven't used it in a while. I have a dongle. Where the fuck dongle go? Oh, there it is.
I had a dongle.
Yeah, I had a dongle, then I found it. It's hiding over there. And I'm still yet to use it.
I've used it twice playing Doom VR.
Yeah, that's right.
Doom 3 VR.
And it's the same shit fit that it is like when we try to play it on the PS4. So, but if it's one cable and it's all this awesomeness, then I'm totally in. But it's very...
Bring on the head massage games and I'll just sit there.
With that in mind, with a brand new PSVR coming, it's good news to hear that PlayStation Studios, the group which houses renowned developers like Naughty Dog, Insomniac Games, and more, has, quote, more than 25 titles in development for the PS5, end quote. And, quote, nearly half of which are entirely new IP. That's according to the Wired postmortem, which features anecdotes from key PlayStation personnel like bosses Jim Ryan and head of Sony Worldwide Studios, which is PlayStation Studios, Herman Holst. Quote, there's an incredible amount of variety originating from different regions. Holst, who's now in charge of PS Studios, as I just said, quote, big, small, different games. Genre. So we're looking at every studio that PlayStation has, there's something to... Looks like each of them are making something.
I mean, that's good.
Which is certainly good news. And the fact that at least half of them are new IP, that's a big win. So we're looking at 25, let's say... 13 of them are new IPs. Maybe I'm probably like 12. No, I imagine they're going to go higher the other way.
Yeah.
So if we look at things that are old IP, we know God of War is one. We know Horizon... GT, they're three that we know are coming. Spider-Man 2 is a guarantee.
Obviously, Ratchet.
Ratchet is there. We've got presumably the Uncharted remake, or Uncharted in some capacity, Last of Us in some capacity, whether it be Factions or whether it be the remake. That still leaves five, at best, old IPs that they're going to come back. So we could be looking at, you know, Infamous, Resistance, Siphon Filter, probably not so much. Days Gone, so these are not on that list.
Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear. See, this is the gray area, though, right?
Silent Hill.
So they're talking about PlayStation Studios, right? Yeah. Returnal is technically a PlayStation Studios game. It's a second party exclusive, but it was assisted development PlayStation Studios. Therefore, it is a PlayStation Studios game. So are there any weird gray area games like that?
Oh, 100%. 100% that'll be you.
Because with that in mind, that gray area could fall into a Metal Gear. It could fall into a Silent Hill. It could fall into, you know, like these secondary licenses that are being made relatively in-house, whether it be by the likes of XDev. You know, like there's a bunch of different ways that they could blur that line.
Death's Still Stranding.
Yeah, because like depending on how they're involved, like in terms of these second party deals, whether there's assisted development or just financial backing, if there's assisted development, then it's very likely we might see not Ghost of Tsushima, which probably on that list too. What's the name of the place? You know, the Ghostwire Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
If they're assisted in development, bam, suddenly it's on that list. You know, and like, so that kind of is that little bit of a weird spot there. Jess in the chat says, new Spyro after the success of Crash. Not happening. So, it is owned by Activision. So, it's very unlikely for Sony to be involved in that. Even though, just like Crash, Spyro has a strong history with PlayStation.
And the Toys for Bob team have been shoved into Call of Duty Warzone.
Yeah, because Activision have changed their approach. Just everything that is Call of Duty is pretty much it. And that's all they're working on now. So...
yeah, they took Vicarious Visions and threw them into Diablo.
Yeah.
And then so no more Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Well, at least by them. Maybe they realize we've got the template now, we can pass on to somebody else. No. Is there any IPs that you want to see?
As in old,
like Sony. Legacy of Kain? Soul Reaver?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Legend of Dragoon, which is
that would be, you know,
one that Josh should always fight for.
Legend of Dragoon would be a good one. I don't know how well it would play out these days. It has a lot of competition now in that genre.
Yeah,
like so much.
Less on the shelf.
Croc,
Legends of the Gobos. Nah, bro. Because Killzone could be in there. SOCOM could be in there.
A shooter wouldn't be bad.
Ape Escape.
Ape Escape is the greatest game of all time.
Ape Escape, but with like all the haptics and the rumbaroos.
Please don't. It will never happen because it was a Japan studio again.
Yeah, they still own the IP.
I'd love a new Ape Escape. I'd rate that. Make it happen.
Do it.
Come on, Herman.
You heard it here first.
You wouldn't do it.
Come on, Hermdog. You know. So Ernie's friends call him Hermdog, and we hate them.
Stock shortages, Ryan.
Yes.
The PlayStation 5 is in high demand and low supply since its launch in November of last year. Obviously, that was complicated due to the pandemic of the world. And unfortunately, Sony doesn't expect things to improve all that much in the foreseeable future. In a report from Bloomberg, the company commented on the short supply of PS5, suggesting that it isn't going to get much easier to buy one for a while. Our CFO, Hiroki Totoki, reportedly said he doesn't think, quote, demand is calming down this year, and that even if they could produce more consoles in 2022, our supply wouldn't be able to catch up with all the demand. In other words, PlayStation 5 stock will probably remain low through next year due to persistently high demand as well as component shortages. Totoki adds that the platform holder has sold, quote, more than 100 million units of PlayStation 4, and the demand for PlayStation 5 won't drop easily, quote, considering our market share and our reputation.
So, I think we're in a pretty good place, at least here in Australia. So, this is anecdotal, of course, but...
I mean, they must be pretty easy to get. I heard Rockamummy got one last week.
She sure did. But I mean, in terms of, mutual friend of mine. He's a store manager for a games chain here in this country. They've essentially exhausted all their expressions of interest from the back end of last year.
Oh, really?
So now anything that comes in is on shelf. Or I think they might be reopening expressions of interest. But like all those original pre-orders are now accounted for.
Oh, that's good.
So like that is certainly a a more positive sign that there are more to come.
Mm-hmm.
When they arrive though, it's probably that different thing. But it looks as if at least here, you will still be fighting for one. You're not just suddenly going to get one, but it's certainly more obtainable now. If that makes sense. But one thing, you may not be able to get a PS5 Max, but you're able to get some dope-ass controllers. So, put that on a trailer. Under the cover of darkness, the other night, PlayStation announced, in perfect timing, two new colors for the PS5 DualSense controller, both being night space-related. We had the Midnight Black and the Cosmic Red, and they're releasing in June.
Oh, look at that mad typho.
Which one? Cosmic Reed. Yeah, that's why I chose to avoid it. Yes. Big question, Max. Are you getting a Midnight Black or a Cosmic Red DualSense?
So, obviously, I spoke to you about this right before the show. Because I, like you, we picked up two controllers at the start when we ordered our PS5s. And we sent one controller and our PlayStations to our good friend Ethan over at Tag Mods to mod console and controller. And I think I'm just going to mod the other controller instead of buying another one. The one question I have out of this is, why is the Cosmic Red controller more expensive?
It's like $10 more expensive, which is insane.
Like, I don't understand why it's more expensive. Yeah.
So, I myself, this week, my DualSense shit itself. Well, it's not shit itself. It still works. But the adaptive triggers aren't so adaptive anymore. Right?
They've adapted too much.
They've adapted too much, and now that they are rooted. So on the R2, it is like the tension is gone.
Yep.
Like I bump it and it starts triggering shots. So if I'm playing Outriders and I just breathe near it, I'm like, ugh. So for me, I have ordered the Midnight Black to replace that one. And the reason being is because that one is the customized one that we spray painted purple. I can't really return it. I'm like, hi, can I return this? Why is it purple? No reason.
Well, at least yours is just a color. How can I return this? Why is there a chunk missing out of the controller? Like,
shut up.
Because aesthetics.
Yeah. So on a plus side, though, that does mean that controller will be retired and will join the shelf behind me. We've got a purple DualShock 4 over there. We've got the 20th anniversary edition PS4 controller, the DualShock. We'll probably swap that out and put the purple one in there, and I can get that. So I couldn't decide on the red or the black. The red looks really cool, but I felt the red would really clash with my purple PS5. So I decided, I want aesthetics, man. I don't pay attention. So I went with the black. But in the chat,
it's because you were cheap.
I'm not quite sure how to pronounce this. Sadra Afshar has asked the question: would anyone buy this, and why? So although right now we're just gonna fuck with your other controller. Is the plan, but like, are you incentivized to buy this? So my reason is because the black one looks really nice. I like the texture to it because it's a natural black compared to the spray painted, you know, like it will lose some of that. And the buttons are also black too, which is kind of nice. But for me, it is mostly because my controller shit itself.
I mean, if you were looking at buying another controller, getting either the Midnight Black or Cosmic Red is more appealing because the plain white one doesn't look that fantastic.
Yeah.
White gets dirty easily. Super easily.
Have you been using your white one?
Yeah.
Is it filthy?
I almost exclusively use my white one.
Is it filthy?
No, it's not that bad.
Well, because once again, I made that claim.
But I now live in a house where there's baby wipes in every room. So that's after I have something, I'm like...
Okay. Because like previously...
There's not like Cheeto fingerprints all over mine.
Because before the console release, you and I were like, nah, white sucks. It's going to get filthy. It's going to get gross. Mine's fine. Fine.
Give it a few years and it'll turn that Nintendo yellow.
Hot.
Dated sunburnt yellow. The console's good.
Yeah, to answer that original question though, if my controller hadn't died, if the triggers hadn't pooed themselves, I would not be buying it.
Yeah.
I'd be waiting for, what are the names I pitched? A Nebula Purple or a Aurora Borealis Green.
You're an idiot.
They were the ones I pitched on social medias. But like if they make a Nebula Purple, which is, I came up with the idea of just saying, then that's the one I want. that's the one I will seek out to buy. Like, even though I love my purple controller that we that we customized, it does feel different. Oh, Galaxy Green's actually kind of better. But like a bit like a Galaxy isn't actually green though, and that's why I went with the Aurora Borealis, because it's actually green. And a Nebula is can be commonly purple. Put some thought. I actually did some fucking research before I made that tweet. minus anyways. One thing, color that you may not see frequently on a controller or in the Galaxy is the color of gold, but we can see that recently, right now, with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. This week, they announced just the other day that the game has officially gone gold. It is coming out on its June release date. To add to that, this week I sat down with friend of the show, Paul James, who had an exclusive behind closed doors pandemic preview of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, where he got to, you know, have essentially a keynote from a bunch of the development team, including like the creative director and the sound design and everything, as well as watch an extended series of gameplay. And so he and I sat down and he ran me through all that. Now we're gonna cut to that right now. So past Ryan, what do you got to say? Thanks, future Ryan. So we are very lucky today. We are joined by awesome friend of the show, Paul James from Player 2.
Most recurring guest.
Does this add to the tally?
I think it does.
This adds to the tally. So
Max doesn't hold that status anymore because he became an actual host. So he lost that when he became an actual host in the show.
Instantly.
All that just goes into the tally now.
So our most recurring guest on For the Players, that's the Pop Culture's PlayStation podcast, which you hopefully should know because you're listening to it right now. Paul had a very, very exciting opportunity this week. He went the closest you can get to behind closed door in a pandemic era with Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. What went down, Padge?
So I was invited, or Player 2 was invited, and I went out representing Player 2. Very fancy little digital portal presentation thing. We had Marcus Smith and a whole bunch of other key figures from Insomniac basically presenting a whole bunch of cool parts of the upcoming Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I've nearly referred to another name that we've been jokingly calling it, Ripped Afart, which is 100% the name they should have gone with. But
did you ask them that? Could you have the opportunity?
I didn't have the opportunity to ask that question.
Plenty of time.
But we know it was the inspiration. So we got to see, there was about a 30-minute gameplay video that we watched. No annotations or no kind of commentary over the top. It was just purely like, here's some gameplay. You're going to see a bunch of Ratchet. You're going to see a bunch of Rivet. It's kind of, I mean, we've seen from the state of play a whole bunch of different sequences there. A lot of it was those sequences that you've seen in the state of play, but just expanded to kind of see, like, here's the full arc of how this scene plays out.
Well, that was going to be my first question. Like, is there gameplay that we have already seen? And the answer is obviously yes, but we're seeing
components
it more contextually?
Of it, but yeah, more context and, I guess, like, in its entirety. You know, like, here's how this sequence begins, here's how it ends, and then what we've seen from that state of play was kind of splices of what happened in the middle. And now we're getting it all kind of compiled and kind of, you get to actually understand how the loop works, I guess, in some of these sequences.
So with this 30 minutes of gameplay, are there anything stand out that you feel that you should comment on?
I mean, of course, the visuals. Holy shit. I mean, we've all been saying this anyway, and you don't need to have this fancy gameplay experience that I did to be able to make that comment. But holy shit, like, just seeing it in action, the flow, I mean, I was never a big frame rate guy, but I've really started to come around to that this generation. Returnal actually was a real eye-opener for that, but Ratchet's up the ante again in that space. I'm sure it's running probably at 60 just like Returnal was, but just, I guess I have that context with Ratchet and what I'd seen from before, and even the changes that occurred to Ratchet and Clank 2016, you know, these PS5 perks that have recently come to the game, and I've started to kind of understand that a little bit more, and I'm not such the scrub that I was before. It looks incredible in that space, but in the gameplay space, I think most people agree, just even based on what they've seen from the state of plays and various trailers that we've seen prior, like, it's not doing anything hugely new. Like, the DNA is very much intact, and it's just little things they're changing up, some cool new weapons, like the Ricochet, for example, which
I was just about to ask, does this gameplay show off cool new weapons?
Yeah, the Ricochet is a really cool new one. So it's like this, it's basically like a pinball machine sort of gun.
Yeah.
Works. I mean, the way they pitched it when Marcus and the team were talking about it was, it is like a pinball machine. So, like, you shoot the ball out and it'll bounce off their heads a few times. Eventually it cracks open, you get some like sparkly lights and stuff like you would get in a pinball machine before eventually returning to your gun. So like that's kind of cool in the sense that there's not many weapons in the franchise that it's basically, you know, one use, but it, you know, returns. Mm-hmm. It's you'll typically exhaust the ammo capacity of a certain weapon and then that's it. Whereas with this, technically infinite, but it's not in your possession for a while, so you can't just be spamming shit everywhere. Or
so you're not launching a lot of numerous pinballs at enemies.
Yeah.
So it's like one pinball.
Like it'll hit him and then it'll just keep, and then they spoke about, they clearly enjoy the fact that like you'll shoot at an enemy and then bang, it'll just keep slamming into the top of their head afterwards if that's what you want it to do. So, but it's not, you can't just instantly recall it or instantly just back out. Like there's a little bit of a risk reward in terms of the time that's going to take to recall the ball and then shoot again. And
there'd be hang time, right? So like as that happens, you're left gunless for a small window of time while it's bouncing on this person.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, anyone that comes up close, you're going to have to swing, you know, like swing into melee and those sorts of things, I'm guessing. I don't know if you'll be able to, like, the ball can keep doing its thing while you swap to a different weapon. That's one of those sort of things that's a little bit unclear because they were really trying to demo, like, here's how this weapon works and here's how this weapon works and those sorts of things. So they weren't really kind of combining them all in that sort of context. There was certainly some gameplay, which was your very natural thing, which was, okay, I'm toggling to this weapon and this weapon and this weapon, but there was no emphasis on here's how I can use the ricochet in this scenario and toggle to this one. I would have liked for them to focus on that a little bit to clarify questions like that one. But so, we're gonna get some answers pretty soon. So
it's right around the corner. So
yeah.
In terms of rivets, so rivets obviously the big thing. She is the other Lombax in the marketing. How does she fit into this? How does she play in this gameplay footage? Because you mentioned there's some interviews as well, where she mentioned as a sort of key piece of... Because I imagine she's the one big difference right now. So probably have a lot to say about it.
Certainly narratively, she's the big difference. But otherwise, I guess she's what actually grounds the game in normal Ratchet and Clank sort of formula. I mean, narrative-wise, she is just alt-universe Ratchet.
Oh, okay.
So
is this, in terms exactly of, is this playing does. Into that dimension rift thing that they got going on?
Okay. Yeah, so the whole thing is like, what's his name? Dr. Nefarious. He opens a rift to a whole other universe, a universe where he always wins, and on the other side of this universe, it's not Ratchet, it's Rivet.
Ah.
And she basically is, like, she plays exactly the same as Ratchet. Without knowing, I guess, all the context around it, they were a bit careful about what story stuff they showed off, but it crossed from a point where Ratchet's on his own, which is a thing that we've seen in past Ratchet and Clank games. Like, he'll go off on his own, Clank is elsewhere for whatever reason. You're playing with Ratchet on his own, but Rivet has stumbled onto Clank, so Clank gets mounted onto her back, and so all the ways that you would typically play Ratchet and Clank with Ratchet and Clank previously is actually Rivet and Clank in this particular case. At least in this some portion of the game anyway, which is kind of cool, I guess, narratively. Ultimately, in the gameplay sense, it's the same as what you... Like, it's a warm blanket for people who've played Ratchet & Clank games before because you've done this. It's just a... What's going to be cool about it is kind of hearing the way Rivet interacts with the world and hearing her talk about how things are, because it's very different. You've got Nefarious City as opposed to Metropolis. Metropolis, yeah. Or am I just mixing up my Supermans and shit?
I think you are.
I've just gone completely blank on the name of the main city.
That's right.
But it's something like that. It ends in Opolis.
It's something Opolis.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
But Metropolis is definitely Superman. messed that up. So it would just be really interesting to kind of see, get her insights into the world and what's happened and that sort of thing. And I mean, we've heard it in the trailers, like Clank is referring to, we've got to go find my friend. So as Ratchet's, I guess, pursuit of Clank starts to heat up, like they're going to start to cross over in that space. And nothing at any point has revealed, like, what is it like when these two meet? Because I assume that's going to be a pretty pivotal moment in the actual game. Well, and what that does for the interactions, who knows? That could even have massive gameplay implications, but...
Well, with that in mind, the gameplay that you saw, where does it take place within the story? Was that disclosed?
So, familiar locations. There's little sequences that we see them heading through Nefarious City. Rivet specifically heading through Nefarious City. You see, you know, working with some vendors and those sorts of things in the shops. But the bulk of the actual gameplay, in terms of what they're showing off in combat, we're going back to a lot of familiar locations from past Ratchet and Clank games, mm-hmm. and they've just been revitalized and re-energized visually. They've added a lot of depth to them. They've added a lot of scope. They've added a lot of life. That was one of the things that was really emphasized in some of the interviews is what we've had narratively in the past is, you know, our one story, whatever it is that Ratchet and Clank are off to do. And then they go through a bunch of different planets where there's fun and combat to be had. Now, that's still obviously going to exist, but what they're really trying to emphasize is that each planet you go to is going to have its own little mini story of some mm-hmm. sort. There's going to be little arcs to these planets that you go to, and it's not just about navigating it to get to the end to collect the gold bolts on the way and proceed to continue Ratchet and Clank's adventure. That's obviously still going to be there, but there's so much more that you can actually immerse yourself in, which is really exciting. I mean, Ratchet's not necessarily known for its amazing storytelling or rich worlds or those sort of things, but it looks like they're really looking to explore that here, and they've got decades almost now of stuff that they can work through, and so that's going to be really cool. But it is what we've seen anyway so far is environments that we've known, that we've loved, and they've polished them up, they've updated them, there's new grind rails in them, a few new enemies, giant mech thing, which I think we saw in the state of play, if I remember, that big giant robot thing.
I'm not too sure.
I can't remember now. It's a bit blurry now as to what I saw in the state of play versus what I saw in this event.
So if it isn't in the state of play, spoilers, there might be a giant mech apparently.
There's
so.
A big mech thing, and you've got you're navigating grind rails, and they're all like, it's very scripted in the sense that like there's one point where it's trying to grab Rivet and Clank, and like you slide like its hands are starting to close around, and you go straight through the hand. To get to another platform, you kind of grind across its shoulders at one point. Like, there's all sorts of little things. Like, they're all scripted things, which has always been the case for Ratchet and Clank anyway.
So you mentioned that...
The context is cool.
So you've mentioned that we're looking at decades worth of points of reference here. And yep. then we'll jump into it, because you mentioned there was some interviews and stuff afterwards. But, so in terms of that reference point, right? So we know that the 2016 Ratchet and Clank was essentially a remake of the first game. With yes. this, is the where does this sit in chronological order?
So
is this a follow up from the 2016? Is it standalone? Is it like the back? What was the last one on prior to the 2016?
Into the Nexus? It picks up from Into the Nexus, which was basically. I mean, it took them a little while to get to that point. So there was the core trilogy of future games: the Tools of Destruction, Quest for Booty, and then A Crack in Time. And then they kind of experimented in other formats for a while. There was All for One, there was Full Frontal Assault, and they were kind of, there was some tower defense stuff, there was mm-hmm. multiplayer games. They kind of deviated from the core formula there, and people started to criticize them a little bit because they weren't quite executing on the level that you expect. And Into the Nexus was kind of, okay, let's get back to the core idea again, and they continued that narrative somewhat. And this is picking up from that, though it was really heavily emphasized, you don't need to have played the other games. At the end of Into the Nexus, spoilers for anyone who's concerned about spoilers from Into the Nexus, Clank had just built this, what was referred to as the Dimensionator, that will help Ratchet, with his goal being to help Ratchet meet other Lombax, because he's the lone Lombax.
I've just put two and two together from this Dimensionator. Is that what the riffs are?
So the Dimensionator is what Nefarious takes, or like, steals. There's a big parade that's being there to celebrate the accomplishments of Ratchet for all these years. Clank put together a little surprise for him, which was this Dimensionator that he's kind of rebuilt and polished up and gotten good to go, so that Ratchet can go and meet other Lombax. Like, he's the lone Lombax in the whole universe. It's a really nice little sentiment.
That's really heartwarming.
And then Nefarious fucks it all up. That's what gets him dragged through, and ultimately he does presumably get to meet another Lombax in the form of Rivet. I don't know when that'll happen or how it'll happen, but I assume it's going to. But that's kind of the core hook there, and that's what connects them. But if you hadn't played Into the Nexus or any other Ratchet and Clank game beforehand, including 2016, you wouldn't be hurt here. It's like, okay, Clank's a nice guy. He's got a thing for his friend. Oh, Ratchet's one of his kind. Okay, but there's going to be someone in another universe. That's really cool. Let's go off and explore. Like, you could get by without having that context, which is nice for that's players new and old. And they're certainly looking to hit a massive market with this game. That's blatantly clear in terms of just even the marketing stuff that we've seen. Ignore what I've got access to. Like, the way they're trying to present this stuff in a marketing sense is they're trying to get this in front of as many people as possible.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I... So, like, that's probably awesome.
Why they didn't call it Rift Apart instead of Ripped Apart.
Makes sense. Like, they want, like, they're not going to... Yeah, they can't really go from the mid-2000s dirty names like they... Like they
going could, Commando yeah. and Up yeah. Your Arsenal and...
Again, I would Quest appreciate it. The immature 31-year-old, which is myself, would be like, ha, 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 fart. You know, so yeah, I would have certainly perfect, appreciated but- that. But... As you said, so you got to sit down and have a chat with some of the leads, some of the devs
themselves. No, they spoke to us. So I was just kind of sitting on the other end of a computer, and they spoke to us. But
that's fine. It's fine. That's a one-way conversation is still a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Cool. I got to speak to Marcus Smith and the team.
Yeah. So you spoke out. You went to like a lecture, I guess. To say you know.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Which isn't too bad. What are some of the big things they hit in this little keynote discussion?
For the most part, it's what we've discussed so far. But one of the things that was really, really cool that we haven't touched on so far is some of the accessibility stuff.
Oh, really?
And I guess, you know, this will obviously appeal to you with some of your outside work.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, I am a mental health worker and I use video games as therapy. I work with people with... obviously mental health challenges as well as ability challenges. So accessibility options are a big plus for me.
Yeah, and so the ability challenges being, I think, is one of the main things that they drove the point home on this. And they're bringing every accessibility feature that was in Miles Morales, so I guess their most recent release.
Yeah.
Everything from that's coming across. But then they've added some really cool features on top of it. One of them that was particularly of interest because you don't necessarily, like, there doesn't need to be some sort of a challenging inability too that we've just discussed. It can also just be a player like myself sometimes who's a bit of a scrub that needs a little bit of extra support. They've added a feature that allows you to basically just slow the game down, and you can map it to the D-pad or whatever you ultimately wanted to do. But like they're letting you customize in that sense. You can map this feature to your D-pad, and then if you're going through a tough grinding sequence, or maybe even the combat's a bit rough and it's just getting a bit crazy around you, and maybe that's too much or too challenging or whatever, well, you can just slow time down, do what you need to do, whether it's navigate that difficult platforming sequence or whatever, and then as soon as you get to the other side, just press the button again and it's back to real time.
Okay,
so kind of cool. So it'll allow people to progress.
So if you're in a situation and you've got a wave of dudes coming at you and it's getting too much and there's too you need to find your escape route. So you can slow it down for a second, you can pan the camera, you can see a little path to get out of this little kerfuffle, or say that you're trying to get a traversal and there's like a platform that's moving up and down and you can slow it down to time your jump better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing!
Yeah, I think it's fantastic in that sense. And there's other, you know, little visual things that have been brought across. You know, I think The Last of Us Part 2 in terms of some of the kind of the way they... And obviously, I'm no real expert because I don't have some of the difficulties here that they're looking to speak to. But we've seen a lot of footage from The Last of Us Part 2, for example, and how they kind of color-coded enemies versus the environment versus the player character. That seems to be coming across as well. There's lots of really, really cool features like that that have been added to the game to make it as accessible as it can be to as many people as possible, regardless of whatever your potential difficulty might be. You should be covered from what I can tell.
That's amazing.
I don't want to speak out of turn because everyone's different. Everyone's potentially contending with something different here.
Yeah, we all have different challenges. And
they are looking to address as many as possible.
If it's anything like what Last of Us Part 2 can offer, that's amazing.
Which is even best in class.
Yeah, even what Miles Morales offers is also brilliant as well. Just the complete customization of what you need to be able to play the game better.
Yeah.
And if they're hitting that space here, that's going to be a massive, massive win. Because Ratchet and Clank, just by design, is quite appealing to almost everyone. It's nice, it's bright, it's colorful, like it looks friendly.
At the same time, it can also get pretty overwhelming at times.
It can, yeah.
Whether that is through the platforming or the combat or whatever, like you can get yourself into sticky situations and meet an unfortunate end fairly often if you're not careful. So
it's like,
not in a Returnal or Dark Souls sort of way, but you know, just that's just how the combat can evolve sometimes, that it can get pretty, like, it's sensory overload in a lot of ways and you don't know where to necessarily start. And to be able to just slow things down, for example, that'll make a huge difference to people.
But not even just abilities challenges, right? Both you and I are parents. You know, I have a 4-year-old and how old's your oldest?
2.5 and then 7 months.
Yeah, so he's not quite ready to play games yet, but my son is. My son loves playing games with me. And You know, even though he plays Miles Morales, right? He played Paw Patrol. He got credits in that game again the other day. By the way, that Donut County are his two favorites right now. But he and I play
Donut County. Really,
he loves Donut County. Complete side conversation. But he and I play Spider-Man together a lot as well because he loves Spider-Man. So all he does is swing around the city primarily and just finds bad guys and punches them and throws trash cans at people. But, you know, he's been able to grasp that
pretty
well.
And becomes a rack of clothes and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. It's awesome.
Sorry, Insomniac.
But, no, he has an absolute great time. And, like, he had a minor hurdle when it come to, like, we've not done any of this campaign together because he can't keep up.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Ratchet, because I have a feeling he's going to look at it and be like, ooh, yeah, I want to play that. And so at least
very cat-like creature and metal buddy.
Yeah, he loves robots as well. Like, he's always going to take a shine to Clank, pun intended. You know, and like, he's going to want to play. And this may make it possible for my four-year-old to play this game with me.
Yeah, if it's like, just be able to slow things down and make a massive difference.
Yeah, but not just sit on my lap, but to play it himself.
Actively
and
participate.
Yeah, and have that sense of achievement as well. Because watching him roll credits on Donut Counting, my heart, the feeling. He was like, I did it. I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, dude, you did it. He's all full of himself.
Sounds now, here's Demon Souls. Go for it.
Yeah. His return or get wrecked. And then,
He'll outshine you from what I'm hearing.
Oh, dude, Returnal. I'm trash at Returnal, so he certainly could come through. But
another thing, like you mentioned, you know, things shining, like the visual effects that we're seeing at play. I know I've spoken about how the game looks gorgeous, but you know, they were talking about how, and they used Clank as the perfect example. He's made of stainless steel, and you know what we'd had up to this point was basically a Clank where if light hit him, he was just like a mirror and it'd just reflect off him. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of showed what they've done texture wise with Clank, so that you know when light hits it, sure there's a little bit that will reflect back, but the way it distorts and refracts
and ray tracing essentially,
And then so then on top of that, where all the ray tracing kind of falls into place as well, and nothing that we'd actually be able to see when we're playing the game, but just kind of behind the scenes tech stuff like here, and they just toggled a different cone of vision on, and here's where all like the ray tracing's hitting in these different spots, and to me it just looked like the entire location, like holy shit, everything is hit. I think that was probably by design. Like, here's the location, see where the light touches, all of it,
Tower Kingdom,
that's ray traced. Well, see that shadowy spot, never go there, Simba.
Yeah, but like even with Miles Morales as an example, like it's the subtle details that ray tracing can deliver with just how it reflects off his suit and whatnot in certain ways, and you may not notice it all the time, but when you do, you go, damn. And I think from what you're saying, Clank may be that same space. It just might hit him one way and you go, ooh.
But I think the difference in it's just purely down to the nature of the settings and the games, I guess, is that when you're talking gritty New York versus just whatever you want in Ratchet and Clank, like they can really take far more advantage of this because it's just the nature of the environments that you're navigating. Like they can do whatever they want. They can design things however they want to really highlight what the technology can do. Spider-Man and Miles Morales look amazing. The ray tracing is fantastic in them, but you are constrained somewhat by the attempted realism and certain locations you go and visit. Obviously, you know, the light hitting a skyscraper or something like that, and all the windows can do all sorts of cool things, but there's a potential here with Ratchet in that sense that just isn't possible with something that's grounded in reality like Spider-Man.
Outside of the fact
that you're a person pretending to be a spider swinging off, like that's where the reality takes a bit of a dive, but...
So you mentioned technology. Now, one of the biggest marketing things around Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is how it's using this SSD within the PlayStation 5. Did they touch upon how that's working with... Because obviously, one of the biggest things that we've seen so far from State of Play is that seamless transition between dimensions, right? So you're transitioning between these dimensions.
Within the rifts.
Between these locales. The rifts, sorry. So did they touch upon how they're achieving this?
Not massively. They were trying, you know, hiding some of the back end, you know, technical wizardry, but it is as instantaneous as you think it is. And they've got some little pocket dimensions, they refer to them as, kind of scattered within the various locations. They showed us one in the gameplay there, which is just an opportunity to kind of collect some armor and those sort of things, which is also something we should probably discuss.
Yes.
but you jump in these little pocket dimensions and it's just boom, instant, totally different environment. Not a whole other planet like what we've seen in the trailers, you know, where Ratchet's kind of falling through rift after rift after rift and you're seeing all these different locations. This is kind of, yeah, its own little separate space, little closed off side area, but it's instant and you can turn around and look back through it and you'll see the environment you just came from. And same idea when you get to the other end, it's just everything's just instant, which is really, really cool. The armor that we just discussed a moment ago, you can outfit your Ratchet however you want or your Rivet however you want. There's actually some stat buffs and perks attached to that, which I don't think they mentioned pretty casually. So like, what I take from that is they're not
minor
essential.
RPG sort of things.
Very, I think even more minor than what we'd normally say when it comes to that. Like they outlined it but didn't spend a hell of a lot of time with it, which makes me think like, okay, you the hardcore Ratchet fan, you might want to dabble in this and make your Ratchet look like this, and you might want to reap the benefits of this perk and this buff or whatever. But I think if you continued through the game without ever approaching one of these pocket dimensions and ever getting a new piece of armor, it's not gonna impact your experience at all, because it's about the gunplay and the melee in that, as opposed to how many hits can you take, or you know, slightly less susceptible to this sort of attack. Like, that doesn't matter.
Okay,
it's just about outplaying your opponent in a Ratchet and Clank game, as opposed to having that slight buff or whatever, that slight sort of edge. Okay. So it was kind of cool that it's there, though, for those who really want to explore it.
Now,
and it provides the justification to go and explore these pocket dimensions in the first place.
Okay. I've got like 1,000 questions going through. I'm trying to suss them all out at once. So is there anything else that you want to... Because we have gone for a bit longer than we anticipated, but is there anything else that stood out to you? Because one of the things, like, you and I have had, like, obviously, you know, this has all been hidden conversations. You've not told me anything. One of the words you did give me, though, you just said Pixar to me.
Oh, I mean, well, yeah, again, this kind of cycles.
So I asked you, I'm like, what did you see? Tell me. And you're like, I can't tell you. I'm like, I know you can't tell me. What can you tell me? And you went, think Pixar.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't even shy about it. Like, and I referenced it in the article, player2.net. They themselves in the little presentations constantly referred to film quality, and a couple of people just straight up even said Pixar. That was kind of the benchmark. And look, it's hard to tell until you've actually got it in your hands when you're kind of watching a streamed presentation. You know, it loses a little bit of its quality in the it just the sheer nature of the process. But it looks the part.
Because that's what I was going to say. Sure.
It really looks the part.
You said Pixar. Does it feel like Pixar? Does it look like Pixar? Because
that fluidity.
That achievement within like a game space. Like, you know, we're looking at Kena, right, which is coming up soon.
Yep.
And that looks like that Pixar level of quality as well. So are we mirroring that here in Ratchet?
It looks the part.
Ooh.
And I mean, I think where it best shows is that I look at some of those sequences where they've gone from cutscene to gameplay, and I can't tell which, like, at what point it transitioned. Wow. Like, I don't think I'll find myself in that situation that I think some people described. I think when they were playing maybe Uncharted 4 or something like that for the first time, and like you're standing there and Nate's just kind of hands on hips or whatever, and I'm in control. Yeah. I'm not gonna have that moment simply because of the way they swing the camera. Like, okay, you've pivoted into a position here where you're telling me that you want me to now go play. But if I didn't have that kind of that gamer sense, like having been there and done it and understood how games work, I would have been fooled into going, oh, this is still a scene, it'll end soon, I guess, and then the HUD will slide in and I'll go. But you wouldn't know it. Like, it just it bleeds together that well, which is really, really cool,
man. All you've done is add to my excitement, because as I was discussing in last week's episode of the PlayStation pod, that I was chatting to Max and I said, look, PlayStation so far in this generation have released two of the most hardcore games that you can. They've got Dark Souls and Returnal. I am so excited for Ratchet because it looks fun and charming.
And I might
colorful.
Be able to finish it.
And I might be able to finish it, not just get pounded into the dirt like with Returnal or Dark Souls. So all you've done today is just add more excitement
to me.
Fill
your heart.
And it makes me very happy and confident with what this game's going to be. So thank you so much, Paul, for your time. But you want to leave me with one? Are you going to leave me with one more thing?
I'm going to go one more thing. DualSense.
Oh, of course.
Now, again, I obviously couldn't hold the thing in my hands. It was a hands-off preview, but everything they discussed, I mean, think, and you've played Returnal, so you know what happens when you collect the obelites, for example, yeah. and you feel like the controller rippling. You know what happens when the rain hits, and I mean, that was also in Astro's Playroom as well. But like the way they're looking to use that, the haptics
picking up,
and the triggers,
picking up the bolts and stuff.
Yeah, but even things like, so you know how the alt fire works in Returnal, for example.
Yeah,
we've got a similar sort of thing in place here, where like a half to so it locks at a certain point, and that's so like if you're using the combustor, for example, it locks at a point, and so you might only shoot one shot. But if you pull through that, you know, like a double shot, for example, or whatever the case happens to be. And obviously you can upgrade your guns in the Ratchet and Clank franchise. So I don't know if all of a sudden when you got four, whether it locks in four spots, or maybe it's two and two, or how they want to do that remains to be seen. But like they are bringing those sort of little features across as well. And then there's the haptics with, yeah, as you scoop up the bolts or whatever. But even that they were discussing, like when a ship flies overhead, that you'll feel the rumble from one side of the controller as it drifts across the other, because you're gonna, like if you're standing in place and the thing is kind of soaring fairly close overhead, you're gonna feel it over here before you start to feel it over here. So that's gonna be reflected in the controller as well. So that's really cool too, in terms of just that extra layer of immersion. This thing's gonna be pretty sweet.
Oh man, that one more thing was like, you E3'd me just then, and it was amazing. Yeah.
One more thing, fuck, Ratchet and Clank's looking hot.
It is looking fantastic. If you want to look into a little bit further, there is a link in the description. It is go check out player2.net.au. Paul here has a massive preview. Go check it out. We're recording right now before it goes live, so I've not read it yet myself, but it is live right now. Go and check it out. Take it in. So big thank you, as I said, Paul, for joining me and having this chat here today.
That's good to be back. I'm a guy looking for a PlayStation show.
Yeah, you're like you're a free agent right
free
now.
Free agent.
PlayStation space. So big thank you. And obviously, you know, on behalf of Paul, saying big thank you for PlayStation Australia providing the opportunity for him. And then I'm happy to coattail on that opportunity. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Sony and PlayStation, for providing me this opportunity. It was really, really awesome.
All right. Well, back to future Ryan and Max. Thank you, past Ryan. So look, Padge has spoken to us a little bit about Ratchet and Clank after this went up, of course. And, you know, and are you just as keen?
Yeah, so I've reinstalled 2016 Ratchet & Clank.
Nice.
And I'm getting pretty keen.
Yeah.
I'm getting pretty keen.
See, I did wrap it up last year. I did give it another run through, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
I mean, at this point, checking out anything that's native to the PS5 to see how they're going to use all those bells and whistles really is getting me excited.
Well, that's some of the things. So, you know, as you guys just would have heard, like they talked about how the adaptive triggers are working, how the haptic feedback is going to work, and how there's increased accessibility options. So, like, you know, anyone can play it and have a really good time. In a side discussion that Paul and I had, that there was a mention of, like, the use of that, like, double trigger system, like
so
Returnal.
Similar to that of Returnal?
Yeah, so if you've got like, what was the example that he used? It was like a shotgun that essentially, if you pull, if you hold it normal, just halfway, it's a shotgun that shoots twice, or if you hold it down, it becomes a double barrel shotgun, and it's one shot.
Oh, okay. I thought it would have been like a buckshot versus like a slug.
Yeah, no, from what he said, once again, cool. You know, that's how it was explained to me, which is really cool. But a lot of the screenshots are out now. I believe there's some more trailer footage and whatnot. There's some B-roll available. The game looks fantastic. I am so keen. I'm going to have, like, I'm now going to go on Radio Silent. We have a month. And I'm just like, la, 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 until we get to that month, because I said, I'm keen, I'm excited, I'm ready to go.
Well, I wonder what more they would release anyway, because didn't they do a State of Play?
They did do a State of Play, so there's not much left, just trailers.
And now that they've gone gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ryan.
Yes.
It hasn't gone gold yet, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Valve could be heading to Sony.
Oh.
Hmm. So Valve could have projects in the works for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4, with Gabe Newell hinting that we'll get, quote, a better idea of what is planned by the end of the year. Bizarrely, the executive made this statement during a high school assembly where he was asked by a student, quote, will Steam be putting any games on consoles or will it just stay on PC?
Yeah.
So the big one here that obviously we all want would be Half-Life Alyx, the big VR title that is currently locked behind there, you know.
I think
Secret Garden.
I think that is the most likely option.
And like this, it's not like Valve hasn't worked in the past. We got the orange box or Portal 2, I think.
No, it was just Portal 1. It Portal, was the three episodes of Half-Life, and then...
I believe Team Fortress at one point was...
Yeah, so yeah, it was, yeah, Team Fortress, Portal 1, and the three episodes of Half-Life. Yeah. So it was the five things. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, completely out of the question, but it'll be interesting to see if anything does pan out from this.
Yeah, like I am interested to see what... But yeah, for me, I'm pretty confident it's Half-Life, Alex, because as of right now, Valve haven't released their own game in like how long? Like if they were to make an orange box, what would they put in it? There's been no like recent exciting release to sort of get them across that line, has there?
I don't know. They could finally put Portal 2 on it.
True.
Let all the people that didn't finish that. But yeah, yeah, something you're recycling, you know, that VR title would probably... But the only thing is, that VR title will not work on PSVR as it's set up now.
Yes. So I think... So if you want to look into this further, you could also read this as, we'll find out by the end of the year, which means we may hear about PSVR 2 by the end of this year. Mm. Both options, pretty exciting.
Half-Life Alyx launch title?
Which I honestly think's the same... Yeah, that'd be dope. Oh my God. Like, I think it's the same reason...
So that's a good, you know, hardware seller.
It's amazing how it's... I think it's the same reason we didn't hear about Resi 4 coming.
Yeah.
Because I think they're like, we're not going to... Maybe that's down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why announce it now? Oh, burpy and coffee and sneezy and snotty today. What the hell's going on? Yeah, maybe it's coming down the line. That's where I'm getting at. Let us know what you think. I'm confident that it's Alyx. It's the only thing it can be.
Next minute, it's that shitty card game that they made that didn't sell well on PC.
Oh, wait, isn't like League of Legends and shit? It's not a Valve game though, is it?
No.
Oh.
Damn. It's a Riot game.
Oh, there it is too. I'm just thinking of games. They're the games I think of when I think of Steam and Valve, because I'm a moron. I don't play PC.
You're thinking Dota, not League
of Legends. Dota! Maybe they bring Dota to console.
No, that would be gross. It would absolutely be terrible.
No, I don't want to play it. That's fine. Why do they do that?
That's... Right. No one would play it on console.
You don't know that.
I 100% do. No one would play it on console.
Alright, you just called this one Freebiesoft, question mark. And Kilobyte in the chat confirms Dota on console would be crash. It would be trash. Ubisoft has announced it will be somewhat shifting its release strategy for the future, choosing to focus on, quote, high-end free-to-play games, end quote, alongside the usual 3 to 4 premium AAA titles per year the publisher has stuck to in the past. The new business strategy was confirmed as part of the French team's full-year earnings call yesterday. At the time of recording, I think it was like 2 days ago. And while it doesn't mean the usual Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs experiences are disappearing in their current format, Ubisoft sees it as a chance to expand the audiences of its franchises. The move has been made in accordance with financial guidance. Chief Financial Officer Frédéric Duguay said, quote, yeah, I'll go with Freddy. He said, quote, in line with the evolution of our high quality lineup that is increasingly diverse, we are moving on from our prior comment regarding releasing 3 to 4 premium AAA games per year. It is indeed no longer a proper indication of our value creation dynamics. For example, our expectation for Just Dance and Riders Republic are consistent with some of the industry's AAA performers. Additionally, we are building high-end free-to-play games to be trending towards AAA ambitions over the long term. Ubisoft has sought to expand on the comments it made during this earnings call by committing to the sort of full-price AAA titles it has produced for many, many years. In a statement shared with Eurogamer, a spokesperson said, quote, our intention is to deliver a diverse lineup of games that players will love across all platforms. We are excited to be investing more into free-to-play experiences. However, we want to clarify that this does not mean reducing our AAA offering. Our aim is to continue to deliver premium experience to players such as the upcoming Far Cry 6, Rainbow Six Quarantine, Riders Republic, and Skull and Bones, to name a few, while also expanding our free-to-play portfolio and strengthening our brands to reach even more players. Look, it kind of makes sense, because they love microtransactions, and right now everyone's like, well, you can't let me pay 100-something bucks for a game and then give me microtransactions. They're like, well, what if we just make it all free-to-play? And I was like, all right. That's kind of the argument.
This is on the back of, I think I touched upon it in the quick bits last week, the upcoming...
Division.
Division game that's coming out free to play.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good way to, you know, dip their toe in, test the water, see how well a free-to-play title will work for them.
See, this to me...
I don't know if Division's the IP that they should have started with.
Well, didn't they try to do something Rainbow Six thing? You had, like, fucking Splinter Cell in it, and it didn't really go too well? Like,
I don't know.
To me, this shows a larger issue with Ubisoft. Not like, once again, they are a giant publishing arm, so they aren't they do develop internally, but because they don't have a console to fall back on in terms of funding or whatever, just like Activision, just like 2K, just like Capcom, for them it's about it is truly the business of games.
Yeah.
And I think similar to like EA, Ubisoft have demonstrated themselves to be the business first rather than the creative first.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, every business that claims to be creative first aren't businesses. They are all business, all about money. But the practices that we see in Ubisoft, whether it be littering games, you know, bloating games and then littering them with time boosting microtransactions, whether it be, you know, cosmetics up the wazoo, whether it be completely destroying a game like Breakpoint purely on microtransactions,
yeah,
or whether it just be them horrible dumpster people. Like, you know, that happened. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just sort of forgot that there were real high level sexual assault, rape allegations, and just general misconduct at Ubisoft. And that's a side discussion around all this. But in terms of this to me just demonstrates how they approach these games and what their plans are moving forward. It's that ever obtaining dollar rather than creating better experiences that will sell more copies. They're like, well, let's rehash the same shit and just put more ways to get money out of that. Because with microtransactions, it isn't every player putting money in. It's a small subsect of that audience that they are milking dry. And I'm sorry, like, these people are, can they be milked any further? Like, you're ringing the same cloth, expecting more and more to come out each year. And this is going to backfire. And free to play is cool, and I shout out to them for going down that trend. But like, we've seen this. They've maybe not Ubisoft, but it's been tried before and tried recently. And what do? Step away from it, because free to play is not the race to the bottom. Is not what the game industry needs. That race to the bottom is what's caused this complete problem with microtransactions.
Yeah.
Because they've seen that there's a lot of money in there, and then being the businesses that they are, it's all about that. It's about that profit, which I don't fault, because businesses are businesses. However, like, they are clearly sacrificing any sort of creative endeavor, any sort of creative identity, some creative respect in order to pursue that money here. Like, why? Like, they mentioned Skull and Bones. That game is going to be littered. You know why? Because it's been delayed too many times and it needs to make its money back.
Announced in, what, 2017?
Minimum. And look, so Kumquat in the chat adds, I'm such a Ubi slut and I hate myself for it, but I love their IPs. Look, there is a reason that there is an ongoing joke, you know, especially in this show and in the past, about me being Ryan Ubisoft Betson. It's because I enjoy Assassin's Creed. I love The Division. I love Far Cry. You know what I mean? Like, these franchises are massive and I fucking love them. However, like, in this circumstance, I do also look at this and go, ugh. You know what I mean? So Reverend Puck also adds, Bungie's doing sort of well making Destiny free to play, but are they though? They had an incredible foundation to work off when they shifted free to play. Companies that design a game to be free to play from day dot is a very different platform. Destiny had made a stack of coin before they made that call. They had exhausted everyone they could under a paid system. So they went, well, let's go free to play. And what happened? Those numbers shot back up because suddenly that barrier of entry is lost. Ubisoft, whatever they're saying, they are not going to be making AAA level quality free to play games. They will not. And if they are,
we're gonna be able to find out soon enough. Like this Division free to play game is supposed to come out the back end of this year, early next year. We'll see right then and there. And Division is not one of their, you know, side IPs. It's one of their.
It's their standouts. Tom Clancy's. It's a big one.
Yeah, it's one of their big titles, and we'll be able to tell exactly how much they're willing to put into a free-to-play title.
Yeah.
to see what they get back from it.
Yeah, and I am not confident. I'm not happy, but it doesn't really matter. I'm just one dude on the internet. That doesn't mean shit. I'm gonna blow my nose. Can you jump into the next news story?
I can. It's a very short one.
Fuck.
EA are not playing with E3. This time next month, E3 is happening.
We're stuck in here.
For those playing at home,
we are literally stuck in here.
I can't open the door.
Wife! My son likes to hang on the door handle.
This time next month, E3 is happening. However, EA has decided that they will not host EA Play.
Are you happy to know that you live in here now?
Yeah, cool. I'm so terrible at writing this stuff. However, EA has decided not to play with E3, and they will host their EA Play Live on the 22nd of July.
No. Fun. I need you to open the door for me. So now my son's just knocking the door. All right. We'll come back later, I guess. That's all right. I'm going to at least crack a window in here. Because I'm suddenly feeling super claustrophobic.
Super claustrophobic. No, it is the stream invader, but he can't invade because the door is currently jammed closed. We can't get out. No one can get in. It's going to be fun. Disco Elysium, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. So earlier this week, Disco Elysium kicked in the door of the Australian Classification Board and demanded a retake, a redo. They have since unbanned the title, giving it an R18 plus rating with the drug use previously being the issue. But as there are no detriments to taking drugs inside the game, there are detriments, not just benefits. It does not glorify drug taking, so they were okay with it upon reflection.
Yeah.
So previously it was banned because like you take drugs and it gives you good things. Like, yeah, but also can fuck you up. Like, okay. That ban, however, has since been overturned. Quote, in the classification review board's opinion, Disco Elysium, the final cut warrants an R18 classification because the themes, course language, and drug references have a high impact. End quote. The Classification Review Board, a separate body that reviews all classification ratings formally challenged in Australia, said in its report. In the review board's opinion, while drug use linked to the incentives and rewards cannot be accommodated at an R18 A+ rating, this game does provide disincentives related to drug taking behavior to the point where regular drug use leads to negative consequences for the player's progression in the game. It was specifically the disincentives for drug use that influenced the review board in making their decision. Drug use is not explicitly depicted within the game. The game contains frequent strong course language, often used aggressively, which was a high impact. The themes within the game are related to a detective investigating a murder while also attempting to manage his own alcohol addiction and getting his life back together after his substance abuse. The themes and drug references within the game are inextricably linked. As Excited Comquat says, common sense prevailed, sort of. The real issue here is the hype for that game was then, not so much now. Anyone that wanted it, like myself, went the sneaky route and got it through the US store, like I did. So, yeah. There's that. Are you going to pick it up now that you can?
Possibly.
It is very good. It is fun.
Quick bitch, Ryan. Sega wants Atlus, the Persona developer, to do simultaneous worldwide launches from now on.
Good call.
Yeah. Because we're about to wait like 7 months for Persona.
It's brutal.
Knockout City will celebrate its launch on May 21st with 10-day free trial. This is the
dodgeball game?
The dodgeball game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Subnautica is now has a free PlayStation 5 upgrade. We got it as part of the Play at Home initiative.
Yeah, I think the Play at Home initiative, yeah. And then
so now, because Below Zero
comes out in a couple of days.
There is now a PlayStation 5 version for Subnautica. You can go and get your upgrade for free. After the closure of Sony Studio Japan, it appears they are returning to the area as Sony XDev, which is based in Europe, is seeking peoples in Japan and Asia for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 work.
It'd be really cool if they just didn't fire them. That'd be nice.
Sony has filed the trademark for Sunset Overdrive.
This has brought a massive
Now the door handle's not on the door.
Oh no. The door handle just flung off the door. So obviously my wife's currently breaking in. So this is massive, obviously, with the whole idea that, like, what does this mean? It's coming to PlayStation, la 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 la.
I think it's just it wasn't Microsoft exclusive, but Insomniac retained the rights to the IP.
Yeah.
They're now owned by Sony.
Give me a sec, bud.
They're just getting all their ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Making sure everything.
I think they're just like, I think it's like just keeping that ownership because, yeah, as I said, yeah, now that Insomniac are purchased, they are then, technically this trademark now falls into PlayStation anyway. Last week, the soundboard, this week, the doorboard. Yeah, it's not working very well.
Days of Play has made its return, the event kicking off on the 18th of May. You do have to sign up. Registration will be open for the entire month, but you must be signed up to be eligible for the rewards of themes and avatars. So it's the same as last year. They give you a game, they give you stuff that you need to do, you go do it as a community, and we unlock all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah. And I love the themes, because the themes are all like sacred symbols involved, yeah. So as you know, I'm a fan, so for any time I see them, I get a little bit, but even though it's PS4 and I don't play on PS4, I play on PS5 now, but I still want them anyway, just because I can. Hopefully, like last year, we can just like kick its face in real quick.
Yeah.
That'd be ideal.
Unfortunately, the PlayStation AU Twitter account has done us dirty this week, and we don't have a top 10.
I'll double check.
GTA 5, fun fact, is in top 5 again.
Fuck's sake.
I would imagine. But while Ryan's looking at that, let's talk some upcoming releases. We have Just Die Already coming to PlayStation 4 and 5 on May 20th. We have Rust, the console edition, coming May 21st to PlayStation 4. And previously mentioned, Knockout City will be coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 through backwards compatibility on May 21st.
They have not.
Probably. They have not.
Pretty quiet week.
Yeah.
Pretty quiet week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us here today.
Well, we may have to stream for longer because we could be stuck in this room.
We may be here forever because there is no door handle on the door.
Yeah. I'm sure I can see my kid through the hole, but that's it. We live in this studio now. It's just attacking with a screwdriver. Not a good call.
Not a good call.
Thank you all for joining us. I hope you've had a lovely time. I hope you enjoyed our little special work with Player 2 for the Ratchet and Clank preview. That was awesome. But let's wrap this bastard up, Max.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to be part in future conversations with us, come check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter, all of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join us as the conversation happens, you can by heading to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live. You can follow our exploits of being incapable of getting out of a room or inappropriately using song lyrics from the start that then find their way into the show. Of course, become part of the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on YouTube, be sure to give us a like, subscribe, leave a comment below, and we endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially so I can replace this door handle, you can at patreon.com, or help finance this new table, patreon.com/thepopculture, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I am the escape room king.
Just got to rip the door off the handles, off the hinges, aren't we?
One of us is going through the window.
And that was For the Players.
And stick around now for our IRL stream of the escape room.
It was one of those, like, you know, it was like 127 hours. Just watch us go fucking insane because we're stuck in this room together.